Imagine, for a moment, a small carpentry workshop on the morning a new tool arrives. The carpenter has been working in this same shop for 20 years. He has a hand plane he inherited from his father. He has a set of chisels he sharpens himself. He has a saw that he has been using since his apprenticeship. The tools work. They have always worked. He has built a great deal of beautiful furniture with them. Some mornings before the work begins, he spends the first half hour just sharpening, the way the trade has taught him to. The half hour is part of the day. It has been part of the day for as long as he can remember. Today, a new tool is sitting on the bench. It arrived in a box yesterday. He has unpacked it, plugged it in, and just touched the trigger to make sure it works. It is a power planer, the kind he has read about for years, but never quite gotten around to buying. He picks up a rough board that, with his hand plane, would have taken him about 20 minutes to smooth to the right thickness. He sets the board on the bench. He turns on the power planer. He runs it the length of the board in one smooth pass. He runs it back the other way. The board is finished in something like 40 seconds. He looks at the board. He runs his hand across it. The surface is perfect. The whole job that would have taken 20 minutes is done in less than a minute. He stands at the bench for a moment after that, holding the new tool, thinking, the work is the same work. The board is the same board. The result is, if anything, slightly better than what he would have done by hand. But everything around the work has changed. He can do 5 times as many boards in a day now. He can charge less and still earn more. He could take on jobs he would have had to turn down because they were too small. Worse, the half hour of morning sharpening, the ritual that has framed his whole working life, is no longer necessary. The world he worked in yesterday is a different world from the one he will work in tomorrow. This same thing, the same arrival of a new tool that changes the shape of the day, has been happening across the entire industry of software in dozens of small places for the last 5 years. This is Rust, gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 29, The Developer Tools Renaissance. Today we're going to talk about one of the most visible and most often missed waves of Rust adoption in the entire industry. We're going to talk about the small tools that programmers use every day, the things that run quietly in the background of every piece of software ever made, and how almost all of them, in the last few years, have been quietly rewritten in Rust. By the end of the episode, you will recognize the pattern, you will know the most important examples, and you will understand why this particular corner of the software world has turned out to be the perfect place for Rust to win. Let me back up to what these tools actually are. When a person writes code in any language, they do not just write the code in a text file and walk away. There is a whole supporting cast of tools that runs around the writing. A search tool that lets them find a string of text across thousands of files. A linter, which checks the code for style and common mistakes. A formatter, which reformats the code into a consistent shape. A package manager, which installs and tracks the libraries the project depends on. A compiler or runtime, which actually executes the code. A test runner, which runs the test suite and reports the results. None of these tools is the actual product being built. They're the tools the builder uses. But the speed and quality of those tools shapes the whole experience of building. For most of the history of software, these tools were slow. Not unusably slow, but slow enough that they frame the work. A linter run might take 30 seconds. A package install might take a minute. A test suite might take 5 minutes. A search across a large code base might take 10 seconds. None of these are large in absolute terms, but they happen many times a day, every day for the entire life of a programmer's career, and the small slownesses add up into a real shape of what the work feels like. Programmers learned over decades to wait, to start a long search and switch to something else, to run the tests and go get coffee. The waiting was part of the day. Then, starting around 2017 or so, a small thing started happening. Someone would take a particular slow tool that had been around for years, written in some older language like Python or C, and they would rewrite it from scratch in Rust. The rewrite would, almost without exception, turn out to be far faster than the original. Not slightly faster. Often 10 times faster. Sometimes 100 times faster. Sometimes even more. The first one most people noticed was a search tool called RipGrep. It was written by a single engineer in his spare time as a replacement for an older search tool called Grep that had been around since 1973. RipGrep did the same thing as Grep, but it was dramatically faster, partly because it was written in Rust, and partly because the engineer who wrote it spent enormous care on small algorithmic improvements that the older tool had never gotten around to. Programmers started using it. The speed difference was impossible to ignore once you had felt it. Within a few years, RipGrep had become the default search tool in major editors, including the editor most professional programmers use. After RipGrep came a wave. A company called Astral was founded specifically to apply this pattern to the Python ecosystem. They wrote a Python linter called Ruff in Rust that ran hundreds of times faster than the older Python linters it was replacing. They wrote a Python package manager called UV, also in Rust, that installed packages tens to hundreds of times faster than the older tool, pip, that everyone had used for years. The speed differences were not subtle. A workflow that used to take a minute now took less than a second. A workflow that used to take 10 minutes now took a few. Python programmers who had not been thinking about Rust at all found themselves using Rust every day, indirectly, through these tools. The pattern spread. Other slow tools in other ecosystems started getting the same treatment. There is a JavaScript formatter called Biome, written in Rust, that runs much faster than the older formatter called Prettier. There is a JavaScript compiler called SWC, written in Rust, that runs much faster than the older compiler called Babel. There is a file finder called FD that replaces the older find command. There is a terminal called Alacrity, an editor called Helix, a code intelligence engine called Rust Analyzer, all written in Rust, all dramatically faster than what came before. Each one of these is a small piece of the daily life of a programmer. Each one of them, individually, saves a few seconds here and there. Taken together, they have changed the shape of the working day, the way the power planer changed the shape of the carpenter's day. What is interesting, when you look closely at this pattern, is why developer tools are such a perfect fit for Rust. The tools run as small command line programs. They start, they do one job, they finish. They do not have long-running runtimes. They cannot afford a slow startup. They have to be fast on the first millisecond every time. Rust, with no garbage collector to start up, with statically linked binaries that contain everything they need, with the ability to be aggressively optimized at compile time, gives you exactly those qualities. The tools are also typically distributed as a single executable file that runs on any operating system, and Rust cross-compilation makes that distribution far easier than it would be in most other languages. Every property the developer tool needs lines up with something Rust does well. For you, working as the orchestrator alongside artificial intelligence agents, this matters in a very concrete way. The tools that the agent uses to do its work, the linters, the formatters, the test runners, the package managers, are increasingly written in Rust. The faster these tools run, the tighter the feedback loop the agent gets when it tries something and the result comes back. A linter that runs in 100 milliseconds instead of 30 seconds means the agent can try 10 variations and learn from each one, instead of trying two and giving up. The renaissance in developer tools is, indirectly, a quiet contributor to the renaissance in artificial intelligence agent productivity. The two waves are reinforcing each other. In the broader industry, the developer tools renaissance has reshaped what programmers expect. Tools that were once acceptable at multi-second runtimes are now considered unusably slow. The bar has moved. The expectations have moved. The companies whose tools have not made the move to Rust or to something equally fast are increasingly being displaced by faster alternatives. The Python ecosystem is a particularly vivid example. The same programming community that took 10 or 15 years to barely improve the speed of pip has now, over the last 2 years, almost completely switched to UV, because UV is so much faster that no rational argument against it remains. The same is happening in JavaScript, with Biome and SWC displacing the older slow tools. The pattern is consistent. The tools that used to define the daily life of a programmer are being replaced, quietly, with Rust versions that are an order of magnitude faster. Let me tell one specific story, because the abstract pattern of a renaissance can be hard to picture. The story is about a piece of software called Rust Analyzer. Until a few years ago, programmers using the language we have been learning had a frustrating experience with their editors. The editor was supposed to give them intelligent help. Inline type hints. Jump to definition. Find all references. Autocomplete. These features existed, technically, but they were slow, often inaccurate, and prone to falling out of sync with the actual state of the code. Writing Rust without good editor support was like writing prose without spell check. You could do it, but you spent a lot of energy on things that should have been automatic. A community of engineers, including a developer named Alexei Kladov, took on the project of rewriting the language analysis tool from scratch in Rust itself, with a focus on speed and accuracy above everything else. The result, Rust Analyzer, has, over the course of about 5 years, completely changed the experience of writing Rust. The hints are instant. The autocomplete is correct. The cross-file navigation works. The thing that used to be slow and frustrating is now fast and pleasant. Every Rust programmer in the world today benefits from Rust Analyzer, almost certainly without thinking about it, because it has become the default tooling embedded inside every major editor. The thing about this story that matters, when you step back, is that the Renaissance is not only about replacing the tools the listener already knows. It is also about making new tools possible that would not have been possible at all with the older performance ceiling. A language analysis engine that runs in milliseconds enables features that an engine running in seconds simply could not enable. The tight feedback loop opens up workflows that loose feedback loops cannot. The compounding effect of the Renaissance, over years, is that the daily working life of a programmer has changed in ways that are hard to describe to anyone who was not paying attention 5 or 10 years ago. The tools are not just faster. They're doing more because they can. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that developer tools, the small programs that run alongside the actual code being written, have been quietly rewritten in Rust at scale over the last several years, with names you may already use including RipGrep, Ruff, UV, Biome, and SWC, and the replacement is almost universally 10 to 100 times faster than the older tool. The second is that the reason Rust is the perfect language for these tools is that the properties Rust gives you, fast startup, no runtime, single file distribution, tight memory layout, line up exactly with what a small command line tool needs to be excellent. The third is that the cumulative effect of this renaissance has been to change the shape of the daily working life of every programmer, including the artificial intelligence agents that increasingly work alongside you, in a way that has been mostly invisible because it happened tool by tool, one small tool at a time, over years. Next time on Rust, gently, we're going to look at the single most significant cultural moment in modern systems programming, the long debate and eventual acceptance of Rust into the Linux kernel, and what has happened in the 3 years since. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.